Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Just pray in the spirit for a minute or two. We thank you, Father. We give you thanks. We give you praise. We bless your name. We glorify you tonight in Jesus' mighty name. And let everybody say amen. Say amen again. And God bless you. Good to see you at our times of impartation service. And trusting that God will bless us. Thank you those physically present. Thank you those who join in online. Tonight, I want to share a message with you. I don't know whether I'll finish, but I've titled it, Worthy of a Miracle. Worthy of a Miracle. Worthy of a Miracle. And will you please turn your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 7. And we are reading from verse number 1. Luke chapter 7, reading from verse 1 to verse 17. That's quite long, but it's okay. Because if you can't read the word of God in church, where else can you read it? Amen? Now, when Jesus had finished saying all this to the people, he returned to Capernaum. At that time, the highly valued slave of a Roman officer was sick and near death. When the officer heard about Jesus, he sent some respected Jewish elders to ask him to come and heal his slave. So they earnestly begged Jesus to help the man. Now, this is what they said to Jesus. If anyone deserves your help, he does, they said. For he loves the Jewish people and even built a synagogue for us. So Jesus went with them. In other words, in response to what they said, Jesus went with them. But just before they arrived at the house, the officer sent some friends to say, Lord, don't trouble yourself by coming to my home, for I am not worthy of such an honor. I'm not even worthy to come and meet you. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go, and they go, or come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. Now when Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to the crowd that was following him, he said, I tell you, I haven't seen faith like this in all Israel. And when the officer's friends returned to his house, they found the slave completely healed. May you receive a remote miracle in the name of Jesus. Soon afterward, Jesus went with his disciples to the village of Nain, and a large crowd followed him. A funeral procession was coming out as he approached the village gate. The young man who had died was a widow's only son. Everybody say, oh. And a large crowd from the village was with her. And when the Lord saw her, his heart overflowed with compassion. Don't cry, he said. Then he walked over to the coffin and touched it, and the bearers stopped. Young man, he said, I tell you, get up. Then the dead boy sat up and began to talk. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. Great fear swept the crowd, and they praised God, saying, a mighty prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people today. And the news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding countryside. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Hallelujah. All right. Now, like I said to you, I'm sharing with you on the subject worthy of a miracle. Everybody say worthy of a miracle. You've heard me explain on many occasions that a miracle is an extraordinary event or occurrence as a result of God's intervention. A miracle is an extraordinary event or occurrence as a result of God's intervention. So it's a supernatural thing. It is when God comes in his power to do something that otherwise would not have been done. That's what a miracle is. Now, if you can do it, it's not a miracle. But when it takes the power of God and it takes God's intervention, that is what makes it a miracle. Amen. And when we say to be worthy of a miracle, what we mean is you are deserving of a miracle. When we say that you're worthy of a miracle, what we mean is that you are deserving of a miracle, or you have what is required to receive a miracle. It also means that you have the qualities needed to receive a miracle. And then it means you satisfy the conditions necessary for a miracle. So to run through it again, to be worthy of a miracle means you are deserving of a miracle. You have what is required to receive a miracle. You have the qualities needed to receive a miracle. And you satisfy the conditions necessary to receive a miracle. Praise the name of Jesus. I received a message the other day, a WhatsApp message from a friend of mine who was very down and discouraged. And things were not going well for her at all. And she had been believing God to change her situation, but things were not getting any better. What made it more difficult for her was that she just kept hearing testimonies of others about what God has done in their lives. And she was wondering that, why is God stalling where my situation is concerned? She explained that, I have prayed, I have fasted, and because I know her quite well, I know that it is true. That is a very spiritual person. Prayed, fasted, can spend the whole day in the room by herself, just praying and communing with God. Said, I've done all these things. And for years, that intervention of God I am looking for It's not happening. Sometimes my children and I go hungry. And I have to give them all sorts of things to eat. I struggle to take care of them. It's like there's a season in my life I can't even go to the salon. And it's just not working. But she said, I've prayed. And I'm still praying. I have fasted. I've waited on God. I have avoided all kinds of temptations. Because I'm quite nice. You see. And I've received some one or two proposals. That I know that all I had to say was, And then monies will start flowing. And I've avoided all those things. But my miracle is not coming. Now you see, all these things that she said, in essence, what she was saying to me, or what she was implying was that, I am worthy of a miracle. I am worthy of a miracle. So, is it possible? Is it something that we can talk about that a person can say? And I know that with her in saying that, it is not presumptuous. It's not arrogance. You know, because there's a way you can say that you deserve certain things and it stems out of a certain pride and arrogance. That's not what it is. But what she was trying to imply was that I think I have met certain conditions. And I think that I have certain qualities that should make this miracle happen in my life. I don't know whether you've been there before where you believe that God should do certain things in your life. And it's not like you are proud or anything, but it's because of your knowledge of God, what you know of Him, what you've read in His Word, the promises that you've seen in His Word. You feel that I should be seeing certain things by now. I mean, I don't know about you, but I've been there before. You too. I've been there before. I've been there before where I asked God a lot of questions. Because I felt that there were certain things that He should have done in my life that I wasn't seeing. Okay? I mean, the one that I talk a lot about is like having kids, because it took a while before they came. And I used to ask God a lot of questions. I say that, me, I don't get it though. I don't understand. Because here I am, you know, a young man with a young wife. And I was in full-time ministry. Because I entered into full-time ministry very young. Didn't do so many years of secular work after the university. After national service, worked somewhere for 1 year. And straight away, when the opportunity presented itself to enter the ministry, I jumped for it. Now, I felt that for somebody who has paid such a price, I deserve to see certain things in my life. What do you think about it? Don't I deserve it? Yeah, I felt that I deserved it. Then I was also thinking that, you know, one had kept himself all these years, had a good wife who had been in the SU ever since she was little. We got married. Both of us were virgins. And you kind of feel that it should count for something. Do you understand what I'm explaining to you? Yeah. But what we were believing God for wasn't happening at the time that we were expecting it to happen. Eventually it did, and God came through for us. But one went through that season of questioning and asking, that is it that we don't deserve it, or we are not worthy of a miracle? And you can get to that point. You can get to that point. So in the story that I read to you, the scripture that I read to you, we were introduced to a centurion, a Roman captain in charge of 100 soldiers. That's who a centurion is. Now, this guy had a servant who was very valuable to him. And I want to say to you that if you work for somebody, aim to be valuable to the person. If you work anywhere, in a secular organization, in a church, wherever, make it one of your aims and objectives that I want to be valuable to the one that I am working for. And in the house of God, tell yourself that I want to be valuable to God. This past few Wednesdays, I've been sharing with you about being profitable unto the master. And when you are profitable to somebody, you are valuable to the person. Don't just be in a place where you go and come and you don't make much of a difference. Don't have the attitude when you work in a place that the job is not for me. It's not for my father. It's not for my mother. So why should I kill myself? That is a very bad mind to have. Because I can tell you, when you do your best and you work very hard and you become valuable to the person you're working for, it can open some very major doors for you. There are people who have found husbands because they were valuable to the one they worked for. There are people who have received opportunities to travel to many places because they were valuable to the one that they worked for. And never forget, where God is concerned, that anything that you're doing for him, when you do it well, know that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him and for those who diligently serve him. So this servant was very valuable to his boss. But there was a problem. The problem was that he fell ill. He was sick. And he was near death. That means that it was a near-death experience. He was close to dying. Now, his boss, the centurion, knew that this situation with my precious servant, it calls for a miracle. And thankfully, he had heard about Jesus. So what he did was, he approached some friends of his who were Jewish elders and appealed to them that, go talk to Jesus on my behalf, that I beg him. I cannot afford to lose this, my servant. Can your boss say that about you? I cannot afford to lose you. Because there are some people, when you say you are leaving, or they'll ask you when. Yeah. And if you say that next month, they'll say, go now. Because you are not valuable to me. Have you encountered a situation like that before? Yeah. So it's like, I cannot afford to lose this guy. So please come and do something about it. Now, the delegation he sent came to Jesus to plead with him to come heal his servant. And what they said to Jesus when they came to him is very important and worth noting. So back to Luke chapter 7, verse 4 and 5. And this time around, I'm reading from the Amplified Version of the Bible. Luke chapter 7, verse 4 to 5. The Bible says, and when they reached Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying, this is what they said to Jesus, he is worthy that you should do this for him. He is worthy that you should do this for him. What does that mean? The guy is worthy of a miracle because what he was asking for was a miracle. So what the delegation was explaining to Jesus was that this guy, he's worthy of the miracle. He's deserving of the miracle. He's met and fulfilled the conditions for which he can have this miracle. He's worthy that he should do this for him. And then they said, for he loves our nation and he built us a synagogue at his own expense. I pray that by the grace of God, I'll get to a place where I can put up a church building to the glory of God all by myself. That would be nice, right? Yeah, it's possible. It's possible. For he loves our nation and he built us our synagogue at his own expense. So what they were therefore saying to Jesus was that this guy is worthy of a miracle. Say again with me, worthy of a miracle. All right. Now, if they were wrong in saying so, Jesus would have pointed it out to them. Because one of the things you should know about Jesus is that he will tell you what he thinks. And he will not refrain from telling you the truth. If they were being presumptuous in saying what they said, I believe that Jesus would have pointed it out to them. But he did not. He did not rebuke them. He did not correct them for saying what they said. Rather, in response to their request, he decided to go with them. And he actually set off to do so. What it means is that what they said was true. That the guy was actually worthy of this miracle. That it was actually true. So it tells us something important. That you can get to a place in your life and in your Christian walk where you can be deemed to be worthy of a miracle. You are worthy of a miracle. And you can get to that place in life where it can be said of you that this brother, this sister is worthy of a miracle, is deserving of a miracle, has fulfilled certain conditions for a miracle, has the certain qualities that are needed for such a miracle to be done in his or her life. You are worthy of a healing miracle. You are worthy of a financial miracle. You are worthy of a job breakthrough. You are worthy of having a child. You can get to that place where you are deemed, where you are considered worthy of a miracle. But there are certain qualities that you must have. And there are certain conditions that must be met. If you're going to get to that place where it can be said of you that you are worthy of a miracle. What are these qualities and conditions? That is what I'm about to share with you. Number one. Grace and mercy must locate you. That's the first thing that can make you worthy of a miracle. Grace and mercy must locate you. Grace and mercy must locate you. And I want to start off with the other character in the story we read. This was the widow of Nain. In verse 11 to 15 of the same Luke chapter 7, soon afterward, Jesus went with his disciples to the village of Nain, and a large crowd followed him. A funeral procession was coming out as he approached the village gate. The young man who had died was a widow's only son, and a large crowd from the village was with her. Now watch this. When the Lord saw her, his heart overflowed with compassion. When the Lord saw her, his heart overflowed with compassion. That is what we see happening, which eventually gave rise to the miracle that the lady received. Don't cry, he said. You know, sometimes you may feel that God has a problem with you when you cry. He doesn't. It doesn't at all. Even Jesus wept. When he got to the funeral of Lazarus, he wept. Shortest verse in the Bible. And Jesus wept. Alright? So it's okay to cry. It's okay to cry. It's okay to cry. But if you're crying, I can tell you this. That God can be touched by your tears. I mean, sometimes we say that your tears don't move God. It's not really true. It's not true at all. You see, one of the reasons why Jesus had to come in human form was so that he can experience all the things that we go through. So that when he finally takes his place as our high priest, he can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. And he can understand what we go through. He can understand what we experience. So that when he's interceding for us, and he's talking some for us, or KBMIN, he can do so with feeling. Because have you noticed that when somebody hasn't gone through what you are going through, You realize that the person doesn't really understand and appreciate what your experience is like. Have you felt that way before? Yeah. There are times when somebody is trying to comfort you or console you, and although their intentions are sincere, you realize that the person doesn't really know what he or she is talking about. So there was a need for Jesus to go through certain things. And he knows what it feels like to experience loss, to experience pain, to experience anguish, rejection, betrayal. He knows what it feels like. So when he's advocating for us, he can do that with feelings and with compassion. He said to the woman, "Don't cry." And that's what Jesus is saying to somebody listening to me tonight. Don't cry. Or in other words, you've cried enough. His word says, weeping will endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. May the Lord turn your mourning into dancing. And may he wipe your tears away and replace those tears with laughter and songs of rejoicing. In the name of Jesus. I'm saying to somebody, your midnight will soon be over. And the sun will shine again for you. Shall I receive it? Then he walked over to the coffin and touched it, and the bearer stopped. Young man, he said, I tell you, get up. Then the dead boy, he was not in a coma, he was dead. He hadn't fainted, he was dead, dead, dead. He sat up and began to talk. What do you describe this to be? A miracle. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. You can imagine her joy, her excitement, her elation. She was beside herself. May God do a miracle in your life that will cause you to be confused. In the name of Jesus. You begin to pinch yourself. Is it real? Is it real? And it will be real. And that time is coming for you. I said that time is coming for you. That season of God's intervention is coming for you. that period of your life where God is about to interrupt a vicious cycle of your life, a cycle of pain, a cycle of confusion, a cycle of frustration, a cycle of poverty, a cycle of disappointment. The Lord is about to interrupt that cycle, and that will be the miracle that you need to change your position in this life. Receive it in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, this lady received her miracle. And she received it because Jesus had compassion on her. I mean, we don't read about anything that she did to deserve this miracle. The only thing that we see which the Bible talks about is that when the Lord saw her, his heart overflowed with compassion. His heart overflowed with compassion. And ladies and gentlemen, yes, I am talking about certain qualities you must have, certain conditions you must meet. All those things are true, and we'll talk about them. But there's one particular thing that if you don't encounter, you cannot receive a miracle, where the grace and mercy of God locates you. And for that one, it is not really about you. What you've done, what you've not done, what you have or what you don't have. But it's a case, and it's a story of God himself deciding that I want to do something for this person. So that is why when you read Romans chapter 9, Paul was talking about God's choices. And he was referring to Jacob and Esau. That even before they were born, even before they had come out and had an opportunity to do right or wrong, God already chose the younger, the second born, not the first. Because according to the Jewish tradition, the firstborn has a certain place and has a certain position. But in the case of these twins, God had decided that I prefer the younger one. He chose him. And in Romans chapter 9, verse 10 to 16, Paul writes and says, this son was our ancestor Isaac. When he married Rebekah, she gave birth to twins. But before they were born, before they had done anything good or bad, she received a message from God. Before they were born, before they had done anything good or bad. Because it is true that doing good attracts certain things into your life, and doing bad can also bring you certain misfortune. But before they had done anything good or bad, she received a message from God. This message shows that God chooses people according to his own purposes. He calls people, but not according to their good or bad works. She was told, your older son will serve your younger son. In the words of the scriptures, I loved Jacob, but I rejected Esau. Why? Why? What has Esau done? Or what good has Jacob done? On the contrary, this Jacob, when he was born, we realized that he had some papa ways. And he was quite funny. In fact, when their mother went into labor, they realized that the child wanted to come, but that something was holding the firstborn from coming. Then they said, Mami Chim, Mami Chim, Mami Chim, Mami Chim. And then the child came, and they were surprised at what they saw. They realized that the reason why the delivery was delayed was because the second child was holding the heel of the first. It's like, I won't let you go. I won't let you go. I won't let you go. That was Jacob. And the Bible says that the scripture said, I love Jacob, but I rejected Esau. Are we saying, it continues, then that God was unfair? Of course not. For God said to Moses, and this is what you must never forget in your life, I will show mercy to anyone I choose. And I will show compassion to anyone I choose. I am God. I am God. Not me. Not me. But this is God saying that I am God and I will have mercy on anyone I choose to have mercy on. And I'll show compassion to anyone I choose. Then it continues verse 16, which is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. So it is God who decides to show mercy. We can neither choose it nor work for it. I kind of like how the King James Version puts it. So then, it is not of him that willeth, neither is it of him that runneth, but it is of God that showeth mercy. Because you can will for certain things in your life, and it's not a problem. And there are things that you can have because you willed for it. I'm sure you've heard that statement before. Where there is a will, there is a way. So it's possible to will for certain things. And if it's accompanied by a certain diligence and effort and drive, it's possible to see certain things in your life. So you can will for things. And you can also work for things. You can run and pursue certain things and you can have them. But the Bible is saying that there's a certain place you get to where it is not of him that willeth, neither is it of him that runneth, but it is of God that showeth mercy. And that's what I'm talking about here. That one of the qualities that can result in you receiving a miracle, that can make you worthy of a miracle, is when grace and mercy locate you. And I like to define grace as simply the good things that you receive that you don't deserve. That's grace. And then mercy is when you don't receive the bad things you deserve. So in both instances, there is a receiving. All right? There's a receiving and there's an element of deserving in it. But with grace, it is when you receive the good things, the favor, the goodwill, the loving kindness, the blessings, the miracles that you don't deserve. And mercy is something bad should have happened to you. A certain punishment should have been meted out to you. But you are not getting it. Even though you deserve to be punished, even though you deserve to be exterminated, even though you deserve to die, but you're not getting it because mercy has located you. Because mercy has located you. So I'm showing you something here, my friends, that when grace and mercy locate you, you can actually receive a miracle and deemed to be worthy of a miracle because grace and mercy located you. And as for that one, it is God's prerogative. It's not really about you. He just decides. And never ever forget the sovereignty of God in this life. Because you see, we can get to a place, you know, I mean, it may even be a problem, the words that I'm using, deserving, worthy, you know. And I'm using those words guardedly because there's something that I want to point out to you. But before I move into the other qualities and conditions that can make you worthy of a miracle, I am pointing out something to you. That there is this truth and this reality that miracles can come your way just because grace and mercy located you. And not because of anything that you did per se, but just that God decided that I am going to be good to this person. On Sunday, I told you the small part of a song, Omema. Omema means that the God who does good things. It is his nature. It is his trait. He just does good. That's why the Bible says he causes the sun to shine on both the good and the evil. And he causes the rain to fall on both the good and the evil. It is only a good God who would do a thing like that. And when this good God decides to deal graciously with you and releases his grace and his mercy in your direction, one of the things you can anticipate is that a miracle will occur. As it did for the case of this widow of Nain. She didn't have any hope. She did not even go to Jesus to ask him that raise my son up for me. Unlike the centurion requested for it. This woman did not make any request. Did not send anybody to Jesus to do anything for her. But grace and mercy located her. The Bible says when Jesus saw her, his heart overflowed with compassion. And I pray for you, my friend. May the heart of God overflow with compassion towards you. Because that can turn your situation completely round for you. When the heart of God overflows with compassion towards you. When God just decides that I'm going to do this miracle for this gentleman, for this lady. It is not of him that willeth, neither is it of him that runneth, but it is of God who showeth mercy. May grace and mercy locate you in this season of your life. And when it does, may it result in God's intervention in your life. May it result in a great miracle being worked out in your life. May it result in your breakthrough. May it result in your blessing. May it result in your deliverance. May it result in your restoration. May it result in a new season of your life. May it result in your elevation. May it result in your promotion. May it result in your healing. In the mighty name of Jesus. May grace and mercy locate somebody from tonight. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive the grace of the Lord into your life. Receive the mercy of the Lord into your life. And may a miracle come to you as a result of that. Clap your hands and bless the name of Jesus.
I'm the one that you have shown me mercy. You have shown me mercy. You have shown me mercy. I'm the one that you have shown me mercy. You have shown me mercy. You have shown me mercy.
Lift your hand and sing it in faith. Sing it in faith.
Hey, I'm the one that you have shown me mercy. You have shown me mercy. You have shown me mercy. Oh, say that I'm the one. I'm the one. That you have shown me mercy. You have shown me mercy. You have shown me mercy. You look past my
sin, my guilt, my shame,
upon your love. You look beyond me. You look beyond me, oh. Hey, look past my sin, my guilt, my shame, and pour your love, oh. You look beyond me, oh. You look beyond me, oh. I'm the one that you have shown. I'm the one that you have shown me mercy. Oh yes, you have shown me mercy. Oh Lord, you have shown me mercy. Say that I'm the one, I'm the one, I'm the one that you have shown me mercy. You have shown me mercy. You have shown me mercy. You look past my guilt, my sin. You look past my sin, my guilt, my shame, and poured your love. You look beyond me. Oh yes, you look beyond me. You look past them all. Oh yes, look past my sin, my guilt, my shame, and poured. Shown me mercy, oh Lord, you have shown me mercy, oh yeah, 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 you have shown me mercy. I'm the one, Lord, said I am the one, I'm the one that you have shown me mercy. Oh yes, you have shown me so much mercy. You showed me your grace. You showed me your mercy. I'm the one, oh yeah. Oh yes. You chose to show me mercy. You chose to pour out your grace. What kind of love is this? What kind of love is this? Oh yes. I'm the one that you have shown. Show me mercy. Oh yes, you have shown me mercy.
I want you to just pray for yourself right now. Just talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. I tell you, when grace and mercy locate you, it will result in a revolution in your life. And it may even be strange to pray that God show me grace and show me mercy, because it's not like something that you work for, something that you deserve. But it's okay to pray that God show me mercy, show me grace. I know that it is up to you, but your boy is here, your girl is here, and I'm crying out to you, Lord, and I'm saying, show me your grace and show me your mercy. Because I tell you, when the grace and the mercy of God finds you, it will result in a miracle. It can result in a miracle. The healing miracle that you need, the restoration miracle that you need, the financial miracle that you need, the spiritual miracle that you need, the deliverance miracle that you need, the business miracle that you need. Cry out to the Lord and say, God, show me mercy, show me mercy, show me mercy. Let your grace locate me. Cause abundant grace to find me. Let great grace be released upon me. Let that grace come upon me. Let that grace come into my life. Let that grace come into my marriage. Let that grace come into my health. Let that grace come into my finances. Let that grace come into my business. Let that grace come into the work that I do. Let grace find me. Let that grace come into that family. Let that grace come upon my children.
Let grace and mercy locate me, O God, and let there be a divine intervention. A divine intervention in my circumstance, in my situation, in my challenge, in my difficulty, in my frustration. Let there be a divine intervention, O God. Choose me, God. Choose me, God. May I be a candidate tonight for your grace and for your mercy. I need it, O God. I need it, O God. I need it. Let grace find me. Let mercy find me. Let grace find me. Let mercy find me. Let your grace find me. Let your mercy find me. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We give you thanks. We give you praise. And Father, I stand here and I pray for your people. I know what you have done for me. I know how time and again you have shown me grace and you've shown me mercy. So there are many things in my life, many interventions, many miracles that I attribute to your grace and your mercy that found me. Right now I pray for your people, everyone hearing me tonight, that Father, show them grace, show them mercy. You know every crisis of their lives. You know everything they are battling with. You know how much they have prayed. They have waited on you. They have fasted. All these things are qualities that can lead to a miracle happening. But beyond them all, it is your grace and your mercy. You said you will have mercy on whom you will have mercy, and you will have compassion on whom you will have compassion. And I pray today for your people. Show them mercy. Have compassion on them. And let your grace locate them in an abundant measure, that they would experience that miracle that will turn their situation around. I give you glory and honor tonight in Jesus' mighty name. And let the people of God say amen.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.